Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Welcome to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly source on being a contemporary gay. We put the G in LGBTIQA+, and we're here to help you be the best G you can be.
Please remember to follow us on Facebook. You can find us by searching for The Gays Are Revolting, our page, and the group if you want to chat. Follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Gays Revolting.
Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Tell your friends, tell gay friends, tell straight friends.
Hey guys, how's it going? What's going on?
Very good.
It's very good. So to introduce everybody, we've got Kyle with us today.
Hello.
No, so Kyle is one of our cool guys that we hang out with, and he likes nerdy stuff, I guess.
I'm not like a regular nerd, I'm a
no,
cool nerd.
You're a cool nerd. Okay,
the
cool.
No.
Okay, I'll take it.
And then we've got Luke,
who sorry, guys,
is our resident drunk. No. No, we love Luke. He's great. And we also have Thomas.
Hello, darling. Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Tom. Very good.
And my name is Mikey, by the way. Hi.
Good to have
Mr. Radio Voice Mikey.
Oh, gorgeous radio voice. And of course, a beautiful hairdresser as well.
We literally met like, I think 2 weeks ago.
2 or 3 weeks ago. We've all been compiled together for this podcast.
Just started hanging out. I had no idea. We did a test record, listened to, you know, some samples of it, and I could never have expected, but Mikey, like, just made my basement flood.
Like,
when I heard his voice played back, like,
thank you.
It was flabbergasting. So good.
You sound like you worked in a late 90s, like, sex phone line.
God, yes.
You could have.
So you're all welcome.
Before we get started, I need to tell you something. I went for my little three monthly checkup today.
Oh, nice.
The story time.
STD clinic, the slut headquarters, as I like to call it. And was sitting in the reception area. And, you know, there's like that awkward feeling in the reception area where everyone's sort of aware of what reason they're there for. You sort of look around going, I can't believe you've had sex. Like, and this guy sat down and it was like deadly silent. And this like gorgeous young gay guy sat in front of me in the waiting room and was like looking really awkward and stuff, and popped his headphones in and got his phone out and didn't realize his headphones weren't plugged into the phone.
That is legitimately my worst fear.
Starts blasting Total Eclipse from the Heart by Bonnie Tyler with the grinder sound going off constantly as well. Like, he's like trying to pick up. I was so impressed. There is hope for the young gay future.
Oh, sweet.
That is like,
I know.
That's next level.
I think we can hear you. Come on.
I have a really good STI story. Well, it's very short. Before we talk about
it's very short, darling. Come on. I'm sure it's not that short.
Like most things, it's pretty short. So I'd started seeing this guy. I think we'd had sex maybe twice and then decided to do the test because, you know, that's just the way we did it. And the guy rang me maybe a few days later and he's like, I'm just not feeling well. My head's like blowing up. I can't get out of bed. And I was like, I don't know what the hell has happened. And then he texted me back and said, I've just been back from the doctors. It turns out I have like a brain tumor. It's pressing on the front of my brain and like basically killing him. And the whole time I thought,
this is your fault.
I thought I should not have fucked this person.
Oh, no.
I fucked a brain tumor into this guy.
He might, you know, he could have just even made the whole thing up just to get away from you as well.
That's pretty elaborate.
Quite possible. Do you have a lot of people trying to get away from them.
Not get away. They usually die first.
Yeah. We have been having fun hanging out and getting to know each other. Yeah, we have.
We've gone on a few excursions.
We've gone on a couple of excursions. Oh, so
mostly
we discovered...
Just down the road to Dr. Morse.
Dr. Yeah, Morse.
Sorry, not from the side of town.
They're definitely going to get to know all of us.
Yeah.
Be regulars from now on.
But after our little meeting last week, we discovered Kyle is such an innocent, lovely little gaby baby.
Yes.
And didn't know about a whole lot of stuff. We had to explain to you what Wet on Wellington was. Also, to be fair, you're not from Melbourne originally.
Yeah.
So
I moved to Melbourne 2 years ago from Brisbane, and I'm originally from South Africa. So.
Yeah.
But mostly Australian now.
Yeah, you've just been going from like just slightly less racist places each time.
Yeah.
And so we were chatting last Thursday and we discovered that Kyle didn't know what Honcho Disco is, which for those of you who have not been before is sort of like a, I guess you'd call it like a Berlin
queer artsy
arts
like
night. It's just, very cool. Yeah, lots of performance arts sort of stuff.
Exactly. Very inclusive.
Yeah.
Like everyone in LGBTQ.
And Luke was feeling really sick.
Is there, and unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. I totally missed every part of this story.
Was there
so.
In spirit.
See you guys later.
Yeah.
I want to say my friend actually knows Mikey from Honcho.
Oh yeah, because Mikey used to perform there a lot, didn't he?
He's a queen at Honcho.
Yeah.
And I told some friends who I was on the show with, and out of nowhere they replied and was like, Mikey, oh, she can turn a look.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to whoever you are.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just repping Mikey this whole episode.
So anyway, the part that we didn't tell you about, Luke, is that we took Kyle down to Honcho Disco and we were like, stay for the show, it's going to be really fun. And we didn't sort of really tell him what they do there.
I was like, oh, great, the show. How exciting.
The
I'm
show
so
starts
excited.
The first act in the first show. This guy walks out stunning. Like, looked like a beautiful Jesus. Like, long, brown, Jesus curly vibes, hair. Sure. Like, tall and lanky, beautiful guy. Walks out completely naked, which is Kyle's eyes just exploded.
Lit up.
And then he hops into, like, you know, they have those little seashells, those, like, little bars. Seashells at kids. And that's full of water, so he starts pouring water all over himself. He just reaches down into the water and pulls out a douche.
Oh,
and just turns and squats with like
locks eyes with
chocolate
the audience.
Starfish staring at the audience.
Yeah. It was
and puts the douche in and just starts douching live on stage. And we were on the floor laughing, not because of the performance. The performance was wonderful, but poor Kyle's face was just like,
you just turned around and was like,
I felt like we destroyed him.
It was different.
You didn't get that poofed off, do you, Kyle?
No, you don't. I was like, I'm not in Kansas anymore.
Kyle's also the only Southside queen on the panel.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, the judgment. Okay. Yeah,
I didn't realize.
How dare you?
Yeah, I always love stories like that because when people tell me, what's the best way to sum up gay culture? It's a story like that that really goes, you know what? This is what gay culture is. Yeah. You take someone out, you see someone douche on stage, you get blind drunk.
It's a classic story.
Yeah. And it brings you together as a family.
I did. Well, you did, because then Marky had to stay at my house because the trains weren't running. But
I was like,
we had a slumber party.
It was cute. No, it was really good. I told my mum about this story.
Oh, you told your mum?
I told my mum everything. Like, I'm best friends with my mum. She knows everything in my life. It's fantastic.
That's
I ended up having to explain to her what douching was. Because I just assume everyone knows. And
not
like,
everyone does.
No. Not everyone does.
I've discovered that the hard way.
Yeah.
I mean,
keep drilling your band to hit oil someday, aren't you?
It was, it was very interesting telling her what douching was. She's like, okay. And literally walked out of the room.
She's like, I need time to process.
She just picks up the domestos and goes into the bathroom.
So, did you guys see this week that Entertainment Weekly did a photo shoot and interview with the Queerest Folk cast?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, God. When it came out, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, because when Queerest Folk came out, I was quite young.
Totally.
Is that from 90s?
Like, late 90s, early 2000s. Okay.
I think the British one was 90s and then the American started in the 2000s.
Oh, there's a British version.
Yeah, I think so.
I've seen the odd episode.
As originally, from Manchester.
I didn't particularly like the English version.
Oh, really?
The US version was definitely more favorable to me.
I explored a lot of my sexuality to the English version.
Yeah.
Or like 3-minute video clips I downloaded from the internet of the English version. I learned a lot about myself and my body.
Well, that's how I feel about the US version, like, because there wasn't like a lot of sort of like queer TV shows out there, and so that was like that one show that I watched like secretly at nighttime in the lounge room.
Oh,
like,
totally. There's such good memories that I think only really LGBT plus people have. It's like I guess everyone kind of does, but sneaking around at night to watch these really like sort of subversive content to learn about our culture and who we are as a people, because I did the exact same thing. SBS up late, watching Queer as Folk, watching some weird, I think it was like lesbian vampires from, what is that one they play it all the time?
Oh, I don't know.
Lesbos Vampiros.
Oh my gosh, no, this sounds amazing.
I am
Lesbos Vampiros.
Yeah, it's so good, but that's how I learned everything I know about queer.
I learned everything. Yeah,
from lesbian vampires.
It was from lesbian vampires.
I mean, I'm so old, I learned everything from Mr. Humphreys and Are You Being Served? It's my extent of getting knowledge as a child.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you. Do you know, it's funny, I didn't really ever fully get into Queer as Folk. Probably because I could only watch it when I was like home alone, so I couldn't watch it every week kind of a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was like 19, 20, I revisited it and I downloaded the whole entire season, like the whole series. And I like sat there and I watched the entire thing and I understood it better because like when I first started watching it, I was very quite young and I was just like, oh, gay people, this is really cool. Like this is an acceptable thing. Yeah, it really, I guess, set the stage for how I thought gay people were until I came into the scene and realized that's the stereotypical of like what, I guess, white gay culture is compared to what it actually is with a lot of like mixed race people and stuff, because they're like looking at the photo shoot, I realized it's an all white cast and I was just it didn't click back then, but now that I'm more, I guess, aware of being biracial, it's sort of just like, oh, there wasn't that representation.
Were you not aware that you were biracial at the time?
It's not that I wasn't aware of it.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Shock, horror.
That must have been a real surprise.
I guess like growing up in a white society is sort of just white. Yeah. Like, no, I'm not actually white. Like, but, you know, it was really interesting.
Interesting. Have you seen that TV show Banana Cucumber?
No.
So there's two seasons. One's called Banana and one's called Cucumber. Have you seen it?
I've also seen 3-minute clips that I've explored myself to.
So, are these 3-minute clips all the same scenes?
What you're
talking about?
I think it's the same guys that did the original Queer as Folk, am I correct? Okay. Yes. It's brilliant. It's more modern and it's a lot more realistic, like it is people of mixed race and all that sort of thing. And a lot more gritty and you know, they don't all have money and that sort of thing. But it's brilliant and I highly recommend it. And it's hot. And it's a lot. It's like, I imagine, a more realistic version or a more modern, updated version of Queer as Folk.
So I have to say, like, I looked at the photo shoot and it was super beige.
Yeah.
I didn't necessarily relate watching it to a lot of white people having problems. But I still respect Queer as Folk compared to some of the other representations of gay men that still happen in media, like to this day, where we are neutered, sort of asexual quip machines walk in and like sashay in. At least Queer as Folk had a few characters that like had sex for one, had relationships.
And with the main storyline, they weren't the sideline.
Yeah. So I appreciate that and I respect that for bringing that to the table, even though it would have been nice to have a brown brother.
Totally. Do you think that there's room, perhaps, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, as a white person, I feel quite scared saying it to you, do you think perhaps at the time, like, there was only so much you could do to push boundaries? So while some shows were pushing those colour boundaries, this one pushed other boundaries, but to get the show across the line, they sort of had to in some way.
Yeah.
And then that sort of opened the door for things like Banana and Cucumber to... Do you think that was correct or is...
I think it's a product of its time as well.
I definitely agree.
Mike, you probably know as well that at that time, just representations of brown people on television was pretty low across the board. And it's only something in the last few years that people have really started speaking up about and noticing. So, you know, I'm not angry about it. And I do think they pushed as much as they could. I just think back then I'm talking like it was 50 years ago, but I think back then,
culturally, a lot of stuff has changed in 80 years.
Yeah, I think people were less aware of it as as an issue. But come through the Brown Brothers, we went, we have storylines. Follow me around for a week. Exactly. I just got tons of lighters, bitch.
Does the show still hold up? Like, if you watch it now, is it still...
That's the thing. I haven't really revisited it since.
Okay.
But there was a lot of nostalgia, like, seeing the photo shoot and seeing the interview that they did. And, like, realistically, they were really pushing boundaries for gay culture at the time.
Definitely.
Like, and I think it was absolutely amazing what they were doing with the show. Because, like, what other show was showing, like, same-sex sex?
Rimming.
Yeah, in main scenes. Yeah.
On TV.
Like,
quite graphically, too.
Yeah.
Actually, can we watch it with Kyle and we'll just reenact the Poncho Disco?
So we're adding a new segment.
Yeah. Kyle watching something graphic.
Kyle watches
his beautiful little baby face.
I'm not that innocent, guys. Okay, you make me sound like a teddy bear. Okay, that's okay.
I saw you holding onto your wallet very tight when we walked into Poncho Disco. No, <I'll use>
So the other day I was just online and I was looking at gay shit because that is what I do. I actually found an article that was called Good Clean Gay Sex and it was Best Practices for Better Bottoming. It just got me thinking, as a gay man, I always tell my friends and they don't get this as heterosexuals, but I feel as a gay man you have to be prepared to have sex at any given moment.
Because it could happen.
Because it could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's get into this.
Yeah.
You're so ready.
I'm going to the supermarket. I got to douche. I got to clean myself. I got to shower. Yeah. I'll be there in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen to me.
Yeah,
when I'm there.
That's it.
See, this is why I'm a recovering bottom. I have not. I haven't bottomed in years. I used to, you know, and that was the thing, you know. You worry about your diet. You have your psyllium husk.
It's a lot of work.
It's a literally lot of work. There is tools. I think of all the people on the spectrum of the world, gay men have the most work to do.
I was on a date once. This is a true story. I was on a date once and we went to a pub to meet up. It was a Grindr hookup.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, yeah, let's get some food. And so the person came around and was like, what do you want? And I was like, oh, I'm going to get like the beef burger and chips. The guy tapped me and he was like, are you sure you want to eat? Maybe you want like a green salad or something.
Maybe you want a glass of water. That's presumptuous.
Yeah.
Well, I used to be very good at it. And then I started topping a lot more. And then I sort of transitioned from bottom to primarily top.
Yeah.
And, you know, my heart goes out to you. I'm looking at all three of you making assumptions.
I mean, like, I definitely am more aware of what I eat.
Yeah.
Like, one of my main things that I do pretty much every day is, like, I will have a Metamucil in the morning and in the evening.
Oh, yeah. But I do that anyway. And I just wanted to move into a paperless office.
That's just, like, keep me regular just in case anything does come up. So, like, if it's, like, spur of the moment, I know that I'm good.
Yeah.
And that I can just go and have a good time with someone. But if I know it's someone that has, like... a bigger tool than what I'm used to, then it's like, it's a full clean. Like, I need to make sure that it's done
spring
properly.
Clean.
Yeah, exactly right. Like, get those cobwebs out of there. Let's have a good time. Yeah.
I've honestly bottomed so much and had such a long career in it that, like, digestion is now my butt's secondary function. Like, that's not like...
That is not why you're on this earth.
Like, that's an added bonus.
More than you poop.
Ornamental.
I've, like, based my entire lifestyle around the potential of anal sex at any, like... And I don't think heterosexuals really understand...
No.
How... Not even just like how much work goes into it, but does anyone have any tips that they can share with our, our listeners?
I was quite excited when I discovered the psyllium husk caps.
What?
Just the psyllium husk in a cap. Just the Metamucil caps.
Okay, yeah.
Or you can just get like just a plain psyllium husk cap, which made it a whole lot easier because I used to hate having to mix in the Metamucil and drink into every morning. So now I have my prep pill.
Nice. Morning ritual.
Poo pills.
Yeah.
And I have my hair pills. And all to keep me sexually active.
I feel like a lot of that was over my head. I don't do a lot of that. I think maybe because I'm lazy. I feel like that would come into it a lot.
But are you the receiving partner very often, Kyle?
Next to never.
Okay. So that makes a difference. So because if you're only doing it occasionally, then you can just sort of do it when you're certain that you're all fine. But I think these boys are talking about, you know, the bat symbol shines into the sky. And
I mean, I'm learning so much. Like, a lot goes into it. I should be more grateful. Be appreciative. Be more grateful and appreciative.
But the one thing I would say is, like, if anyone's ever... Because I just love rimming. I'm good at it. It's a talent I have, and I really like doing it. If someone's going towards you with a rimming look on their face...
What does that look
and
like?
You know what
can you do it now?
No, totally.
No, I'm not doing it.
You sure?
Totally. We can post it on our social media.
When they're heading towards that area. When they're heading down south.
And you're not 100% certain that everything's okay. It's totally fine to say no.
Yeah.
And just sort of say, hey, maybe another time, baby. You know?
That's one thing. So great.
That's the only thing that sort of annoys me. And
totally. The phrase I got a lot of use out of is maybe not tonight.
Yeah. Totally fine with that.
Secret
totally
code fine. Words.
Yeah. And you know, if you're going at it hammer and tong, and as I said, you drill hard enough, you get oil, like that's fair enough. That's fine. But when it's rimming, be certain, please.
Be certain. You've got to be certain.
So, a little tip that I have, like, if you're doing like a full douche cleanse, like, and if you don't want to, like, because you can buy those, like, devices where it's like, they suck the water up and like, put it in. But, like, I can't be bothered with that. So, like, I just got, like, a hose attachment and just, like, you just hang out in the bath. And
like a beer bong.
Where do you buy such devices?
So it's literally like a shower head attachment, but you just like take the head off.
so you just go down to Bunnings.
Yeah, I mean.
Did you MacGyver a douche?
Oh my gosh.
I guess you could call it that. Yeah, definitely. Definitely a MacGyver situation. But yeah, like that's sort of like my sort of like preferred version of douching.
My old housemate used to keep a 1.25 Fanta bottle. In the bathroom and just use that.
Stop. Filled with
Fanta? I think that's a common thing. Yeah. I actually know a guy who
does it
went...
have to be a Fanta bottle?
Yeah. No.
Does Fanta have restorative...
No. I just remember always seeing this Fanta bottle sort of avoiding it in the bathroom cupboard. But I also know a guy who once was at the gym and ran to the little cafe thing at the gym to buy a Mount Franklin bottle. Met a guy at the gym and had to quickly.
Just met a guy.
So if you're ever in
I mean, not going to lie, I have done that before.
Yeah. If you ever needed to Bear Grylls your douche process, then.
Well, I never leave the house without it. Because I don't know.
Without douching or with a douche
without
on you?
Without completely clearing everything out of it. It's just an empty shell that I like move around in. Just in case sex happens.
It's just a regular day.
Clean. And then, like, somehow within, like, 20 minutes, I can never send this show to anyone in my family.
Hello to Luke's family.
Definitely. And my mom. Love you.
Good tips from everyone, but has...
Time you've been caught out.
Horror stories.
I don't think I have any horror stories, but I'm very keen to hear some.
Mikey's just remembered a story. What is it, Mikey?
Goodness. Oh, Mikey, do tell.
So this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I had just moved back into my parents' house for the third time.
We're all such catchers.
I know, right? And I was just on Grindr one night. I was just like, whatever, like, let's see who's around. Mind you, they live down in Frankston, down the peninsula. If anyone knows where that is, that's like an hour south of Melbourne.
And not a nice direction.
It's not a nice direction.
Not a nice hour, sir.
And so I got chatting to this guy, and he was just like, yep, sweet, cool. Like, I'm a bottom. I'm all about it. I was like, cool, awesome. Can I come to your house? And he was just like, yeah, totally. And I get there, and we start doing it, and it's all good. And then he's just like, let's flip. And I was just like...
Like, this is not what I signed up for.
In the moment, I was just like, sure, why not? And then, so we did, and within like a couple of pumps, I was just like,
No.
And I was just like, we need to stop. It's just like, is everything okay? And I was like, no, it is not okay. And like, it wasn't pretty. Like, and I was just like, cool, I'm just gonna go home now.
I'm just going to cease to exist now.
And like instantly, like I got on Grindr and was just like, block, quick. Like, no, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. Like, and he was the only decent guy in the area. And I was like, wasted.
No. Wrecked it. I think part of the fun of gay sex is like, the possibility of failure.
there's so many plates to spin, isn't there?
There's so many variables. And my favorite thing is like when you're absolutely smashed and you've like smashed a burrito on the way home. Do you know what? And you've woken up in the morning and you're like, I don't care. Yeah. I'm doing it. I'm going to go for it.
That's
and you pull it off. So me and my partner used to call it gold stars. Is if you pulled it off the morning after, you were clean as a whistle and would turn around, high five and say, gold stars. And then I realized that wasn't an original thought. My whole family says that when something goes well.
No.
So Christmas that year, we were sitting around the dinner table.
Stop it.
My dad was like, gold stars, everyone. High five.
No, and on your
That's not okay.
And that is why... you're single.
That's why.
Just quietly.
None of my relationships last.
Oh. Wow.
And I now have to make sure that my mother's not listening if I tell this.
Oh, she's
she doesn't know she was on this holiday.
Tell us.
Okay, so my first long-term relationship, I'd been with this guy 2.5 years, and we booked this trip to go away with my family to Bali. And a few weeks beforehand, we discovered that, I discovered that he was having another relationship with another person. So I went on the family trip to Bali with my mum and my dad and my brothers and my grandparents without my ex-partner. And anyway, was not in the best of places. So I went down to, has anyone been to Bali, to Seminyak?
No, I haven't.
So fucking good. Bali Joe's, this gorgeous gay bar, and everyone's so lovely and it's really fun. So I went to Bali Joe's and met this Dutch backpacker who was just the most beautiful man that I had ever seen in my life. And I was blind drunk and I was just so happy that someone was talking.
Was he beautiful because you were blind drunk?
Yeah.
No. He was, I met him, got drunk with him and he was just stunning. So we're chatting, all sorts of stuff. He's like, oh, do you want to come back to, he said, can we go to yours? I said, I'm staying with my family. Let's go to yours. He said, I'm staying at a backpacker's. I was like, right, well, we'll find somewhere. And we hadn't really discussed who was doing what, and I wasn't really thinking about it because I was really drunk, and I hadn't been thinking about the fact that I'd been eating like Nasi Goreng for 3 days.
Stop.
And anyway, we got this hotel room that was 50 cents a night.
Wow, like
50 cents a night. We went in and we were like making out the whole way there, and we jumped on the bed and like. Dust just flew, like it was almost like a cartoon, a gust. So then we started doing it on the ground. Oh god, he started fucking me, and it was not pretty. It was not my proudest moment.
It was not gold
sort of
stars?
Like that scene in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Oh,
it was the chocolate. It was the entire chocolate factory.
Oh,
anyway, so he like screams basically, and I'm like. Oh, I'm so sorry. And we ran to the bathroom and there's no shower in this 50 cent a night bathroom. All it had was one of those squirting things attached to the cistern on the top of the toilet. You know what I'm talking about? Those silver hoses with the little...
So then we're standing there
both gagging, just squirting each other with this hose. Screaming at me in like broken English.
Oh.
What did you eat? I'd forgotten about that. Anyway, and that's why I'm single.
Gay culture.
It gets better, kids. If any of you are at home listening to this the same way we watched Queer as Folk, stop us.
Yeah.
Save yourself.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm not sure if you guys watch Netflix, if you're like the 1% of the whole world. Yeah. Yeah. This little thing. I've seen a trailer recently of a show about superhero drag queens.
Oh my God, I saw this and I thought of you. Yes.
You thought of
yeah.
me? Yeah. So it's called Super Drags. Yeah. It's just like a little snippet, but the style kind of looks like Fairly Odd Parents, if you've ever seen
that's
that.
That's the feel that I got.
Yeah. It looks really fun. I thought it was
like Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff.
Yeah.
But like, it's a cartoon about superhero drag queens.
Heaven.
Like,
yeah.
What is happening? How good is that?
And how amazing it's on a mainstream channel. Like, the amount of money that goes into producing a cartoon is phenomenal. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. So it's coming soon. Doesn't have an exact date.
Yeah.
It's made by a Brazilian animation studio. It surrounds three retail workers who have to deal with a bitchy, uptight boss, and by night they fight crime as drag queens.
God. Do you know what I really love about this is it clearly started with three bitchy gays in retirement. Do you know what there should be is like some show where it's like us and then at night we're like superheroes that do drag and they've just turned it into a TV show. That's so what I love good. Netflix. Yeah.
It's great. Like, I'm so keen to get on board with this. I love how big and mainstream drag queens are becoming. Like, RuPaul's is such a huge phenomenon now.
Yeah.
There's Tom has some views about RuPaul's.
Well, I hate to be the nego.
I don't like
being
Tom's here.
I know, because that's Tom's job. But I watched that trailer and I was like, oh, I think I just heard the death bell of drag.
Yeah. Okay, this is the other element of this. Look, I'm keeping an open mind until the show actually starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if it's just like, if they don't actually explain what gay culture is and stuff, if it's just like the straight white girl RuPaul's version of drag, then I'm not.
Well, there's drag tots as well, so I don't know if you saw drag tots.
I haven't.
Yeah, that's also coming out.
So there are going to be like two animated kid based like drag cartoons coming.
Yeah, but that one's voiced by RuPaul,
which is voiced by RuPaul drag,
like Bianca Del Rio, Dora Delano.
Do you think RuPaul is maybe like being sent, like she's like infiltrating, she's been sent by like southern straight America to ruin the gay scene for everybody?
No, she just like her coin, and she she's getting it, so I'm not mad about it. But when I see it too, I'm like, this is probably as far away from like the subversive trash that
like
club
the drag queens leading the revolution.
But like, how crazy
weren't
is
doing
it
for a kids' TV
to think that kids could be watching drag queens in a cartoon. That's like pretty progressive.
There is a fantastic element to it, as long as we're not just going to make it like a really squeaky clean thing and not sort of acknowledge where it comes from and who's doing it.
I think gay culture is really good at infiltrating and subverting.
True.
I think that's something that just intrinsically gay people are very good at. We get it, we get into mainstream culture and we say, hey, look at this. This is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then we push it.
Because suddenly you're on board.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So if it's that, I'm totally on board. It didn't necessarily look like that to me.
Yeah.
But
I'm very curious to see what it'll end up being.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of gays beating up the bad guys instead of the other way around.
That's true.
Yeah.
If one of them was a butch queen, I think I would have been on board.
Their names are great. So the three main characters is Lemon Chiffon, Crayons Sapphire, and Crimson Scarlet.
Oh, I hate
and they
those
have
names.
Very different.
I want a good pun.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm all about the pun.
I want like a Judy Free or a.
What would your drag name be?
Judy Free.
Judy Free. Okay, that's good.
No.
No. Your actual.
Oh, I. Actually perform in a night called Granny Bingo as Edith Vale, which for anyone who lives outside of the suburbs of Melbourne, there's a suburb called Edith Vale.
Do you have a drag name, Luke?
For ages, I wanted to be racial profiling.
That's amazing.
But then I discovered that, unfortunately, RuPaul was actually, I think, racial tensions back in the day in Tu Wong Fu. So it was one of those weird, like, either I saw it and I was drunk and I just ripped
just
it off.
Consciously absorbed it and then was like, wow, I'm so original.
Yeah. The other one I want that I, like, had sitting around from that one baby drag night that I think I saw photos of was Lola Latrine.
Oh, I like her.
She's
like
a bit of fun. Yeah. She learned everything she knew from the bathroom.
I thought of one the other night was, oh, Rosetta Stone.
Oh, yeah, that's
amazing.
Quite happy with that.
Mikey, you perform in drag at like Concho and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you have a drag name or do you just go by your name?
Well, that's the thing. Like, it's sort of both. Like, so my drag name is Mikey, but the way it's spelt is the way. So in Melbourne, we in our public transport system, the tickets you use are called Mikey's, but it's spelled M-Y-K-I.
Yes.
And like, my nickname is Mikey, and I was just like, I'ma just use that. That's easy that works. As hell.
Touch on, touch on.
Exactly right. If you don't touch on, I'm going to inspect you. That's what's going to happen right now.
If you're down for a good ride. Hey.
But no, like, and for ages I was trying to think of something, and then one of my best friends was just like, just be Mikey. And
I
was just
like, I mean, it works. Easy to remember. At least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Except that Mikey never worked. Mikey's never worked.
No, they don't.
Have you reached out?
I haven't been working for a while, so.
I think mine would be Hannah Conda.
Hannah Conda.
My Hannah Conda.
Oh, I like that one, actually.
Yeah. I'm just like imagining you now with like this giant like anaconda fake snake on you with like a wig, and it just says like Hannah
and
Conda.
And hips,
hips for days.
Hips for days.
Has everyone here done drag? Then?
Except for Kyle, probably.
Except for me.
Oh, let's get Kyle done up and take him out.
I've always been like, oh, I'm not that
It'll be like
friend,
the final scene in the birdcage.
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh.
Please, can we, though?
This will make
can
for, like, good social media content, I feel.
Yeah, we can make
for
you,
the
like...
listeners, yeah.
We can make you a bearded queen. Like, yeah, we can make it real beautiful. No, you look good with a beard.
So I was having a chat with my real friends the other day, not you guys.
Oh, wow.
Deeply hurt.
And they were telling me about this thing, about this party in New York. So sex parties.
Yeah.
Kyle, have you ever been to a paid sex party?
You know, every other day.
Club X?
No, I haven't. Have you boys ever
been to
a,
not like, like we've all been to an orgy or something, but like a,
we've all been
a pay,
to an
like
orgy.
One of the ones where you pay money and it's like... trough or something
to
like
be
that.
Real like I it's... haven't been to a sex party and I have not been involved in an orgy before, but I know what they are.
Okay. So. Well, same. So just for context, it's the kind of sex party like TrophX or something like that, where it's like paid entry.
Is
at
a sex party? I've always
trough,
been confused
and
by
there's
that.
TrophX.
Okay.
Yeah, so TrophX is. I believe that's correct, isn't it?
Ooh. I'm assuming so.
I don't know. I take my clothes off at anything. Take my clothes off at DTs if I get the chance.
I love it.
Anyway, so this is one of those parties where it's at a sex on site premises and you pay entry and you get naked and have sex with people.
Yeah.
But at this party, it was a little bit different because they were charging $25 entry for tops and $65 entry for bottoms. In America,
that's a big gap.
What, $35
and I saw,
70 something?
Like, because I did see something about this online and I was just like, what the F is going on? And I was just like, this is some bull crap right here.
Well, first, my initial thought was like, if you're that thirsty for tops, I'm coming. I'm on my way.
Wow.
What do you think?
The thing I loved about this story is I clicked it and I loved that in the world now we have a press release from like a promoter of the party that literally used the word like cum slut bottoms.
Oh, yeah. So yeah,
a cum dump.
A cum dump in a press release. And I was like, this
headline.
Once again, peak gay culture is like someone's come out to release an official statement but still can't help themselves to be like, wow.
They also use the word cumtroversy.
Oh,
that's the one. That
I hope this clears up some of the cumtroversy. So when I initially heard about it, I thought that it was like a supply and demand issue, that they had too many bottoms coming to these parties and not enough tops, which every sex party I've been to is never a problem. It's when it's the other way around. It's you've got a whole lot of guys standing there just waiting for
it. Really?
It's like, fine.
Take a number.
But just like then the I belly. Read further. I looked it up. And the way it started is a friend of this guy that organizes these parties in New York is describes himself as a cum dump.
Yeah.
Hi, Mum. And...
God.
This is the thing. I know that I can't stop. My mother has Google alerts set up for
I'm
me.
So scared.
Even if I don't tell her or post anything about this podcast, she will be listening.
She will find it.
So a friend of this organizer who was a self-described cum dump wanted a party where there's only like a few spaces for bottoms plenty of tops where the bottoms are put in a and this is, I'm not saying this. This is in the yeah. press release where the bottoms are all given a position. Yeah. They're checked on regularly to make sure that everything's okay.
Yeah.
Specifically says if they need any toilet breaks, and that there's a plethora of tops to take turns. If so good on them.
If there's something that we know how to do, it's curate a motherfucking party.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, like we are the best. I don't want to generalize, but
we are
the best at curating an evening for absolutely. Everyone. And being like, this is how it's going to go.
But I
down.
Feel like there was a lesbian somewhere in there on the finances.
What I'm curious about is who is enforcing this.
Well, that's the other thing I thought.
How do they do that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, from what I read, that it's fully staffed. So it's like, if you come in as a top, you get given a top wristband. Yeah. If you come in as a bottom, you get given a position to stay in. And then the staff come around and just check on you, making sure that you're okay. And then, like, if someone is just like, I'm on a bottom now, that's not a thing.
Yeah, so, like, in the moment, they're like, swap. They're like, nope, everybody stop. No. Yeah. Like, lights on.
It's like, but I had my psyllium husk.
Like, everyone, nah.
Hey, guys.
Wow.
There's a lot of other options. We're a diverse bunch of people, like it's one party.
Yeah, we're allowed to put on a party like this. And if there are people that want to go to that, then fucking go.
I mean, I'm sure there are any other parties for the other people.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, the only thing I disagree with is charging the bottoms more. I feel like they should have gotten free entry and a couple of drink cards for the amount of work they were putting in.
Wow. Compared to the tops. Are they putting in work or they're just laying there?
Well,
see, Kyle, this is what we're talking about.
This is a lot of work.
No. This is what we're talking about.
It's like, I've spent an hour and a half preparing for this.
Oh, yes.
And now
sorry,
I have to pay more than these tops.
Previously
like,
discussed.
You got some homework. You got to listen to this show that
I'm
you're
I'm
on.
Going to go home and listen to what they're talking. I'm like, oh.
This is really stupid, but this is like the only type of pornography I watch at the moment.
Okay.
What, parties?
Yeah, it's like reality sex party videos.
Like homemade or?
I think Ali Wong has actually talked about it. It's like over time your porn sort of taste just gets more depraved. And somehow the world's such a magical place that it just keeps getting there for you. I mean,
the way she put it was just like, it just gets sicker and sicker and sicker. But then the thing is, if you get to a certain point where it's so sick, the internet will catch up.
Yeah.
And it will serve you what you need.
There are times I'm watching porn and I go, I've just hit the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And then I notice, no, there's another bottom and it's just further down.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna just
wipe yourself down and start again.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just
going to watch that. But that is my like go-to genre of porn now. It's like 20 dudes and like no narrative
and then
context.
You
no.
I don't want to see it. My
taste changes in porn, but it is always 100% amateur homemade stuff. Yes. I need to believe it, you know?
Yeah.
And when it's a scripted thing and there's like a narrative and stuff, I am not on board. I don't want costumes. No. I want X-Tube.
But I don't
homemade.
Have any money. How will I pay?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Oh, I need an A+ or my daddy's going to spank me.
Thank God the plumber's
get
arrived.
Stuffed. I want it filmed on your iPhone in the annoying like upwards way.
Yeah.
I want to relate.
The best porn video I've ever watched is two guys having sex and one of them is like playing Angry Birds on his phone.
Be more into it.
I found an entire Tumblr of this and it's like guys on their phone while their boyfriend's fucking them,
really?
Right? They're just like, and sometimes they're like on Grindr finding the next guy.
There's
an entire Tumblr dedicated to that.
And there's something about that that is just like, okay, God. That is
depraved.
The exact opposite of the like, not in front of my salad.
My salad.
That was everything.
I love what a big thing that became. Yeah. Like,
not in front of my salad? Really?
I saw a great one that you might like. I'll try and it's popped up a few times, so I think it's quite popular. I'll send it to you next time I find it. while you're at work. It's a homemade, it's a sex party. There's like several rooms going on and the camera sort of like whoever's filming it's just sort of going from one room to the other, like all the, and sort of like a conga line of fucking all around.
Yeah.
And then it goes to this guy who's Looks getting fucked and he's leaning over a windowsill and then the camera sort of pans out the window and on the balcony is another guy that's getting fucked is blowing who's like out on the balcony and then there's more people out on the balcony.
Is it how many rooms they can extend to while being connected?
Yeah, they're really utilizing their space.
It's like those weird domino videos, you know, where people set up like the machine.
It is. It's like a game. That's our queer version.
Yeah.
With love dicks.
I love it.
Love it.
So I was surfing the web earlier this week and I came across this article talking about the inequality in blood donations for gay men. And yes, it really resonated with me because when I was younger in high school, like the high school put together a blood drive and we'd all go down to the blood donation place and everyone would give blood. And it was the first time that I'd ever been before. And I was just like, oh my God, amazing, sweet. This is really cool. And when I filled out the form, they asked whether or not I identified as a gay man or a straight person. I was just like, gay, obviously.
Obviously.
Have you seen me, guys?
And then they asked a sub-question of if you ticked gay or not, whether you've had sex within the last 12 months. Mm. And I had ticked yes. And they turned around and said, you can't donate blood. And I was just like, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Mm. And they were just like, look, we just can't run the risk of you possibly giving us blood that's contaminated, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, what are you even talking about? Yeah. And it wasn't until I researched it a little bit more at that stage and realized that these parameters were put in when the AIDS epidemic were happening for blood donation. And it's been a thing since then, which is horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it at that point in time because there was a big fear of HIV spreading through blood donations, and I get that. But now it's how long since then? Like, we're still at that point where we're not allowed to donate blood if we have had sexual contact with other people within the last 12 months.
Mm.
With all the new developments with like PrEP and stuff, and like everybody's getting way more like tested way more often, these things need to be revisited. What's happening is there is a campaign at the moment that is targeting mostly like, so it's Australia, the US, Germany, Brazil, and I think there's another country that have these parameters in place, being like, this is not okay anymore. We need to revisit this because like we need to be able to give blood freely if that's what we want to do with our lives.
Like, there's so many different areas that need to be addressed, but I think the worst part is sort of this internalized homophobia around it. I see gay men quite often, and they are
seeing some right now, actually. Yes.
And some of these men, like the ones you meet at the gym or whatever, are like pillars of perfect health.
Health nuts.
Like Instagram models are just like off chops with their health. They don't eat carbs. They don't, you know, they're on like juice diets or whatever. And to decline their blood, like I would drink their blood if I had an option. Like
I would
live off of it because I'm sure it's healthier than like 99% of the population. So I think it's like intrinsic homophobic ideas that have just stuck around through legislation and things that.
I used to be one of my very passionate topics, probably at the same level as marriage equality. I used to be really upset about it and quite active on it. I still believe it should happen, but I've recently sort of changed my focus on it.
Okay.
And that was because I don't know if you guys know Nick Hollis, the wonderful HIV activist, I guess you call. He once referred to himself as a HIVIP, which I still work by. I have not stopped giggling at that for a long time.
Yeah.
But he, you know, very inspirational man living with HIV. He's sort of, I wouldn't say he's against the idea, but his point is more that why are we focusing on this? Is this really what we need to be focusing on? And is what we're really doing trying to separate, as HIV negative gay males, separate ourselves from HIV positive males and say, oh no, we're better than that. Okay. And we're actually don't worry. We're not them. We're the other gay males.
Yeah. Such segregation.
Because I don't want to miss, because he is such a brilliant writer and stuff. I would just want to read a little thing. This is from an article he wrote during the marriage equality debate towards the end of last year. He said, the most inclusive ethical way to allow gay or bi men to donate blood is to end HIV. Yeah. Anything else is a slap in the face for those of us living with the virus, an insult to the decades of activism and organizing. We're still here. We're not going to be pushed aside in the quest to make gay men seem more respectable. That is an equality. That is erasure. Initially, when he started talking about this, I was sort of like, no, I think you're missing the point.
Yeah.
The more I've read about it, the more I see what he's saying. I still think we should be able to give blood. It's not what I need to focus my time on at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm more interested in stopping transmission of HIV than giving my blood.
Yeah.
And then so that I can give my blood and we all can give our blood and it'll be fine. Yeah.
So many people aren't even aware of it. Like I was explaining to my workplace recently, they had no idea that gay people couldn't give blood.
A lot of people aren't, yeah. Yeah. It's like, but to be fair, we are still in Australia the most likely people to have or contract HIV at the moment.
I think none of these topics are as simple as as we would like them to be, because Mikey tells a story and you can see these little microaggressions in them that really shape us as individuals and as minorities. And as we get older, we really want to protect younger people from having those same experiences.
Yeah.
And we're at a really difficult point with our community where we want to fix so many wrongs at the same time. And there's probably not enough of us.
That's a beautiful way of putting it,
to do that. And I have had arguments with my friends being like, why are we fighting about this thing? We got to fight about that thing.
I once, I can't remember who it was that tweeted, do you ever run into a cancer research institute and yell, why aren't you trying to cure AIDS?
Yeah.
And it's like, we can have one thing and not, right. We can be fighting about different things at the same time.
Like now, like hearing your view, I definitely can understand that side of things where HIV positive men are being like, well, like if we sort it out, then like why not go further? But I definitely agree with you. There are other things that are more needed.
Pressing.
Like, more pressing issues that are needed. But at the same time, from my personal experience, I'm sort of like, this is where I'm at.
I think you can't discredit your personal experience based off the experience of someone else, because suffering is not this on a scale, it's relative. And what's important to you is what you should be fighting for.
Yeah. But ultimately. No, I definitely appreciate that point of view, and it's good to see it from all sides, how everyone's feeling about it.
Yeah. I just feel like, I mean, we've done all this work in fighting to get equality, and we've gained that with marriage and everything like that, and now this is like a whole nother thing of like feeling inadequate or not equal to someone.
All right, guys, we made it to the end. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to The Gays Are Revolting, your definitive weekly source on being a contemporary gay.
Make sure you follow us on Facebook. You can look us up. The Gays Are Revolting. We've got both a page and a group. If you want to follow us on Twitter or Instagram, we're at Gays Revolting.
Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's my job to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. Bye. We'll see you next time. Hopefully, if you think we're worthy enough to listen to, which you should, because we really are, and there's a lot of good stuff coming.
Gold stars for everyone.
Gold stars.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.